Okay, Eikev, Tavshin Ayin Ches. So we're going to go back a scooch and to Veschanan. And in Veschanan, we have another rendition of the Aseret HaDibros. Right, Aseret HaDibros. Right? And the changes between the first set of Dibros and the second set of Dibros. I shouldn't say that. Between the rendition in Yisro and the one in Veschanan. The most famous one is, most famous, they're all famous, but the most famous one certainly for us is Zachor and Shamor. In other words, in the...
part of the Ten Commandments?
Right, Zachor is Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. Right? Number four. So in Yisro it says Zochor Yom HaShabbos HaKadosho, and in Veschanan it says Shomer Yom HaShabbos HaKadosho. Okay, Zochor is remember, Shomer is guard. And we know Chazal say Zochor v'Shomer b'dibur echad, like we say in Lechadodi. Shomer v'Zochor b'dibur echad, Hishmiyano kel miyuchad. They both said at the same time. And it's interesting. You look at all the luchos abris above the Aron HaKodesh. In every shul I've ever been in, it says Zachor. Except in the shul in Lanzut, in Poland, where the Chozem Lublin used to daven, there it says Shamor. It's a funny thing. Zachor is usually, is like Ramban teaches us, is talks about the mitzvahs essay, the positive commandments of Shabbos, and show more guard to make sure you're not machal Shabbos. It's interesting. Anyway, so that's in Parshas Veschanan. Here in Parshas Ekev, so there's a whole discussion about how Moshe Rabbeinu goes over and talks about that he was told by Hashem to make new luchos for the second set of luchos. In other words, the first set of luchos, Hashem Kov Yochol gave the stones chiseled away with the writing on it already to Moshe Rabbeinu when he went up to Har Sinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu brought that down. And here, and in the second set of luchos after the Chet HaEgel, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, like we say in every Kriyas HaTorah and every Tainas Tzibot.
So this week's Parsha has the second set of Lukos?
So it talks about, it doesn't have the what was written on them. That was in last week's Parsha. So last week they talk about what was written on them, and this week they talk about how the stones were chiseled. Right? And we read about it in Parsha's Kisisa in Shmos, right? On every Tainas Tzibot, we read, Psalach HaShnei Lukos HaVanim Kagarishonim, right, Asher Shibarta, you should chisel away two sets of luchos, two luchos, like the ones that you broke, etc., etc., etc. So it's a funny thing. In last week's parsha, we talk about what was written on them, and this week's parsha, all of a sudden, we go back to the idea, we go back to Moshe's chiseling of them, which is a little bit sort of backwards.
It is backwards.
A little backwards. So let's take a look. First of all, let's take a look at a few different approaches over here. I think there's something that's very...
How does it describe how to chisel them? Show me the pasuk that says that he's chiseling... this piece of parsha is about chiseling the luchos.
It says... Here it says in Perek Yud, Ba'esi hi amar Hashem elai, psoluch ha-shnei luchos avanim karishonim. At that time, right... At that time, Hashem said to me, "Psalacha," right?
Hew thee.
You.
Hew thee.
You thee?
Yeah. Tablets. Hew, H-U-E-W.
Right.
Thee, T-H-E-E.
Right. Oh, you thee. Oh, okay. Okay. So, yeah. He's just trying to confuse us. Right. Okay. Chisel, we're used to that from business. Sorry. Right? like the two, like the with like the ridge ones. Alei lion and go up and to me Hahara to the mount. Vasisacha on eight, and you should make a cabinet, an aron, of wood. Ve'achtov ala luchos, and I will write upon the luchos, says Hashem. As hadvarim asher hayu al haluchos, the things that were written that were on the luchos, harishonim, the first luchos, asher shibart, that you broke. Ve'samtem ba'aron, you place them in that aron.
So what he's saying here, he said, you go make the aron, go up to the mountain.
No, first he said, go make the luchos, and then
just
he said,
make the empty shell.
The tablets.
Don't write anything on it.
No, Hashem is going to write on it. Uh-huh. That's what it says over here. Ve'echtov. It says Hashem. Ve'echtov al luchos. That's the drama. Show you all the luchos. That's the difference between the first luchos and the second luchos. First luchos, both the tablets and the writing came down from Shamayim. Right? And the second set of luchos, the tablets came from the earth. Moshe Rabbeinu made them. And the writing, we brought them to Hashem, and Hashem wrote on them. Then there's also in this discussion over here something interesting. It says
he's going to write the same exact thing that was on the first ones.
Well, that's what it appears, right? Except that we know that there appear to be changes, right? And how do we relate to those changes? In other words, like we said in last week's parsha in Veschanan, right? We find that it says with regard to Shabbos, Shomer Siyom Shabbos Hakadosho. And in Yisrael, we would write about what the first set of luchos had written on. It says Zochar Yom Shabbos Hakadosho. So, is there a difference between the first set of luchos and the second set of luchos?
So, first set he wrote Shomer Hakadosho.
So, I'm not saying that yet. Though there's going to be opinion like that, right? We'll see. We'll see in a scooch. What it called? Not necessarily that everybody agrees to that, but we'll certainly see the Hamek Dover is going to understand it that way. That the differences between what we find in Yisrael and what we find in Veschanan is that which was written in Yisrael was on the first set of luchos, and that which was written in Veschanan was on the second set of luchos.
Say it again.
We're going to see in a moment that right the changes. Like if we go back to Veschanan. Right, so here's the Seres Adibros in Parshas Veschanan last week.
Right.
Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right, etc. Then we come down to the fourth commandment. Shamor Esyom Hashabbos Lekadsho. In Yisro it says Zachor Esyom Hashabbos Lekadsho. Here it says Shamor, there it says Zachor. Right?
And when Akev is going to say Zachor.
Oh. No, and Akev doesn't say the luch, it doesn't say anything about what was written on it. It only talks about the chiseling of the tablets. That's the only thing. So it's like we said. We have over here a few things we need to deal with. On the one hand, last week it says Zachor Siyom Shabbos, Shamor Siyom Shabbos Hakadosho. In Yisro it says Zachor Siyom Shabbos Hakadosho. And how do we sort of relate to the differences between the rendering of the Aseres Adibros in Yisro and the rendering of the Aseres Adibros in Veschanan, last week's Parsha? Then, additionally, we have something it's interesting. That last week we talked about what was written on them, and this week we talk about chiseling them, which obviously you have to do before you write on them, right? It's a little interesting. Then, in addition, also, right? I wouldn't get totally bent out of shape about this, but it is an interesting point, and Rashi does relate to it. Here in Akev it says, "Ba'esahi Amar Hashem Elai Psalucha Shnei Luchos Avanim." At that time, right? Hashem said to me, "It's talking about making the second set of luchos." Va'alei Elai Ahara, and come to me in the mountain. Vasislacha Aron Eitz, and you should make an Aron of Eitz. You should make a cabinet of wood.
What's wrong with that?
Okay, nothing wrong with that. Except that Moshe says over here, Ve'echtov al aluchos. Oh, no, it says Moshe says over here, Va'as, and I.
Made.
Aron, I made an Aron Eitz, Atzishitin, Ve'efsol Shnei Aluchos. He reverses the order. Here it says, Right? First chisel the luchos, and then make the aron eights. And Moshe Rabbeinu says what he did was he made the aron, and then he chiseled the luchos.
Have a place for it to go after you make it.
That's a very good point. This makes more sense, right? First you make the aron, and then afterwards you chisel the luchos.
Who says? So Hashem says luchos.
Right. It appears that Hashem says first make the luchos, and then afterwards make an aron eights. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have a few different things going on at the same time. We've got, on the one hand, we've got the differences in last week's Parsha, the rendering of the Aseret Dibros, between that and the Aseret Dibros as written in Parshas Yisrael. That's one thing. A second thing is, well, how can we decide to wake up over here in Parshas Ekev and now write about the chiseling of the Luchos, right? After we already wrote about what the Luchos had written on them, right? And the third thing that we can relate to also is the fact that Hashem, in the pasuk, it appears over here, he's telling Moshe to make the aron after he makes the luchos. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, in fact, what he did was first he made the aron, then he did the luchos. Okay. Okay, so now the Ramban, in relating to the first question, says Vani Toma im
Zochor and Shomer.
Right, Zochor and Shomer, very good. The Vani Toma im Nomar Zochor and Shomer Pia Gvura Lamelo Nichta Beluchos Harishonos. Right, Vitechen Shehaya Beluchos Harishonos Ubeshnios Kosuv Zochor. Ramban's approach is that it always said Zochor. On the first set of luchos and on the second set of luchos.
That's the way Ramban holds.
Right. Moshe pirush the Yisrael ki shomor ne'amor imo v'zu kavanasim be'emes. So he says that Moshe Rabbeinu explained to them that shomor was also said with it, even though it only said zachor on the luchos. Which is sort of funny. In other words, over here, in Ve'eschanan, in last week's parsha actually, right? When it says over there Shomor, it doesn't mean that's what was written on the Luchos. It was the explanation. All of a sudden here in Ve'eschanan appears the explanation of what was on both sets of Luchos. In other words, in addition to Zachor, there's also Shomor, right? But only written on the Luchos was what he called was Zachor. Just Moshe Rabbeinu said, you should know that when Hashem said Zachor, he said Shomor along with it. What will appear in Luchos is only Zachor.
He said
Shomor and Zachor together, but on the Luchos only appears Zachor. That's the Ramban's approach. Okay. Now the Hamikdavar.
Thing to prove. How is he going to prove that?
Prove it's not proving it. He's just understanding what he called. You know. I mean, because it's a problem. I mean, you know, why does it say one thing when over here? When it, Seder,
yeah,
okay.
Well, but yeah. As you know, Hashem also said Shomer when Moshe.
No, that Chazal said.
What is he?
No, Chazal said that, but he quote that Shomer v'zachor b'dibur echad namer. Like we say in Lechadodi, Shomer v'zachor adav, Shomer v'zachor b'dibur echad. We said together, right? That Chazal taught us. The question is what appeared actually on the luchos? So that's Ramban's approach. What appeared was always Zachor. Just for in Ve'eschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, you should know that also, or when we become aware in Parshas Ve'eschanan, that Moshe Rabbeinu told them that you should know that Shomer was set together with Zachor. Okay. The Netziv, right? The Netziv says, right, a little bit differently. And I think we'll find this.
Which one's the Netziv?
That's a Hamikdavar, right? The Hamikdavar. That's the Netziv. He says, on the pasuk, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, psal lecha shnei luchos levanim karishonim." Right, the pasuk we just saw before. "V'chasavtei haluchos eset reim ashiu hayu al haluchos haroshin im asher shibartos." He's going to relate to the phrase, "Yeah, I want you to write v'chasavti. I will write," says Hashem. "I will write because remember this second set of luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu chiseled, and Hashem wrote upon them." Right.
Hold on, the Emek Adavar is making a comment on...
On this pasuk. This pasuk would call... This is the pasuk in Shmos, in Kisisa. This is after the Chet HaEgel. This is the stuff that we read on every tiny Sibur. Again, talking about the same inyan, the idea that after the sin, right, the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu had to daven for Klal Yisrael, and meanwhile the luchos are broken, and Hashem told him, he said, I want you, psal l'choshni luchos avanim, I want you to chisel out two new luchos, karishonim, like the first ones, because the difference will be, the first ones I made, Kaviyachol said Hashem, and the second ones you're going to make, right? V'chosavti, and I will write, says Hashem, ala luchos, I will write upon the luchos, es advarim, those words, asher hayu, al haluchos harishonim, that were on the luchos harishonim, asher shibartu, that you broke. They were on the luchos that you broke. Okay?
Okay.
Right. So now, says the Netziv, es advarim, asher hayu, al haluchos harishonim. That's a funny phrase. It should have just said, v'chasavti haluchos, es advarim, asher hayu ksuvim, baluchos harishonim. Those that were written, right, on the luchos rishonim. Instead, it says, "Adorim Asher Hayu Al," the things that the words that were on the luchos. On the luchos is right written. They were written on the luchos, right? On the luchos, right?
I don't understand what you're saying.
The he says somebody called that it would like it, let's see, "Sivolok Siv Asher Kasavti Al Luchos." Right, it should say v'chasavti al luchos.
What should say?
In the pasuk.
Yeah.
It should say
v'chasavti v'yomer
v'yomer Hashem el Moshe. Right.
Yeah.
It says as he says it should say over there that you should sizzle the two luchos v'chasavti and I will write, says Hashem. Right. I will write al luchos v'chasavti al luchos as adram asher chasavti. I will write what I wrote on the first ones. Rather than saying, I will write that which is on the first ones. Right? I'll write what I wrote. It's the same, we're talking about rewriting the same thing. So write what you wrote, not write the things that were on the luchos. Elu kumosha kosa v'sefer dvarim, hey yutes v'yud dalet, sha'al luchos v'shanu haya kosu v'zochor. The Netziv's approach is that in the first set of luchos it said Zohar. Right? And the ones in Yisro.
Yeah.
But the ones who were written after the Chet HaEgel, in those luchos, Val luchos Ashnios, Hayakos of Shomor. And that's the Netziv's approach. Right?
Okay.
V'chein kol ha-shinuyim. And so to all the differences, and there are a number of differences, between the first set of luchos and the second set of luchos, or the way that I should say it's written in Yisro and the way it's written in Veschanan. And then Tziv's approach is that the ones in Yisro are the way it was written on the first luchos that Hashem gave to Moshe and then Moshe broke.
When Yisro was the first.
Right. And the ones in Veschanan, last week's Parsha, are the what do you call it, are the way the luchos were written after the Chet HaEgel, after Moshe Rabbeinu chiseled out new luchos and Hashem wrote again upon the luchos. That was what he called, that's what appears in Veschanan. So in other words, on the first set of luchos, if we'd seen the first set of luchos, we would have seen Zohar written.
In Yisro.
Right? And if we look at the luchos that were written record after the Chet HaEgel, the ones that we have that version in last week's Parsha, right, there we'd see Shomor. Uba'eis haya luchos rishonim, haya zeh nusach kmo tor sheba'al peh. It's a fascinating thing. He says that when Hashem told Moshe, like Chazal teach us, that Shomor v'Zochor b'dibur echad, they were both said at the same time. So in the first set of luchos, what was written was Zochor. The Shomor was like Torah Shebal Peh at that time.
Wait, say that
again. In the first set of luchos, what was written was Zochor.
Right.
The Shomor that was said at the same time was like Torah Shebal Peh. It was like Talmud. Not Talmud. It was like Torah Shebal Peh. It wasn't part of the written Torah. It was part of the oral Torah.
So the Emek Adavar is commenting on the Rambam.
He's not going with the same derech of the Rambam.
But he's saying
saying that on the first set of luchos was written Zohar. Hashem said both things at the same time, Zohar and Shomor. On the first set of luchos, it says Zohar.
That's Rambam.
That's really cool. That's the we're going with Amek Davarda. He's not saying exact. He's not saying like Ramban. He's saying the Ramban says always said Zachar on both sets of Lukos.
He said he wrote Zachar.
Right.
But he also said
Shomer. Right. But everybody agrees that Zachar and Shomer said at the same time. Everybody agrees on the first set of Lukos Zachar was written. The question is what was written on the second set of Lukos. The Amek Davarda says on the second set of Lukos was written Shomer. What was Shomer's status before it was written on the second set of Lukos? He says its status at that time, right, when the first Luchos were given, was like Tor Shebal Peh.
What's the connection there? I don't understand.
If I would recall, in other words, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, recall Shomer Zachar at the same time. Okay, so that's the words of Hashem. What's he going to write on the first set of Luchos? So the Amek Davar says on the first set of Luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Zachar. And the Shomer that Hashem said was like Tor Shebal Peh.
Meaning what?
Meaning like what do you call it? You got a whole Talmud, right? It's Torah, right?
You just said it.
It's right. It's said, but it's not written. The Talmud's not meant to be written. We only wrote it because we were forgetting. We weren't going over it. We weren't the Tsaras at the time had difficulty for it to absorb it, right? But Tor Shebal Peh is not meant to be written.
What's the Chiddush there?
What do you mean? What's the Chiddush? He's saying that Shomer
was
Torah, but not written Torah. It was oral Torah. It was oral Torah. In the second set of Luchos, then it became part of written Torah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu wrote on the second set of Luchos, he wrote Shomer.
That's in the second set.
That's the second set of Luchos.
You hear? I can hear that.
Right? And he says, and that's why, says the Netziv, that's why he used the terminology, right? When Hashem says, I'm going to write on the second set of Luchos, he says, V'chasavti al Luchos es advarim hasher hayu al Luchos harishonim hasher shibarta. I will write upon the second Luchos the words that were upon the first set of Luchos. Not written in the first set of Luchos, but Shomer wasn't written in the first set of Luchos. It was only above it. It was on top of it. It was hovering in the air as oral law.
Why is he saying word right that was written?
Because he didn't write Shomer on the first set of Luchos.
What's the hint of that again?
Because it says the sentences v'chasavti, I will write upon the Luchos es hadvarim asher. Doesn't say asher chasavti that I wrote on the first set of Luchos. Asher hayu al haluchos. It was hovering above the Luchos, as it were. It was oral, but now in the second set of Luchos, that's what you're going to write. Okay? You hear that? You hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Then, now to Sefer Dvarim. Right? This Hamek Davar, it was in Shmos, it was in Kisisa. Sefer Shmos in Tarshisa, when Echeta Egel took place. Now we go, this same story appears, you know, sort of, in our Parsha, in Akiv, in Perek Yud, in Pasuk Aleph. And
so what does that imply if it was hovering around?
It was oral law. It wasn't written law. And the second time when the Luchos were written, so it was written. Instead of Zohar being written, Shomer was written.
And that was an orally explained before.
Before it was orally there, but not written. In the second one, it now is written, and now the Zohar is hovering.
So you can have an explanation why that was so?
Okay. So now, right? So now, over here, in this Netziv, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph here in Dvarim, so he relates to the idea of Va'asis Lecha Aron Eitz. Remember the cabinet, the Aron, that was made. We said Hashem told him, right, what it appears in the Pasuk is first make the Luchos Avanim, and then afterwards make the Aron Eitz. And Moshe Rabbeinu says that he made the Aron Eitz, and then he chiseled out the Avanim. He chiseled out the stones. Okay. Right. Nachon?
Yeah.
Right? And you said, well, it makes more sense to make the Aron first.
You
have somebody to put it. And the Tzitzit says also, she says, so why did Hashem write over here about Sislecha Aron Eitz, right, after telling him to chisel out the stones? He says, because the focus is really not in the order over here. The focus is this is going to be an Aron Eitz. Right? It's going to be a wooden cabinet. Says says the tziv over here. Mikol zemivur, from all of this we understand that the ikar atzivui, the main tzivui that Hashem intends over here, v'asis lechor an eitz lo ba bishvil alamid lemoshe she'as emokam aniach haluchos. It's not coming to tell you. The reason he put it out of order is you shouldn't think that the tzivui here of making the Aron Eitz is to tell him that you have to have some place to put the luchos. Moshe could have understood that on his own. Right? El hefech. Shiyah tzedaka Aron Eitz. Velo shal kesev ezav v'chadome. The important, the reason it's written afterwards is to point out that I wanted specifically to be wooden, not out of gold, not out of silver, not out of something precious, out of something simple, out of wood. The hasibel is there, and the reason for this, humasha kvar nizbayar v'parshas kisisa, sheluchos shneis hayarosh hachona la'amola shel Torah. Right? When the Jewish people received the Torah, right, the first time around, they received the luchos, before the sin, so on that, like we say in Shir Shalyom, and we say in the Shir Shalom, we record after davening, Ani Amarti Elokim Atem Uvnei Olyon Kuchem. You are like Malachim. You have no sin. Achein to Adam to Musum. 1 second. Just like Adam wasn't meant to die, right? But then he sinned and he had to die. So to you, if Ani Amarti Elokim Atem Uvnei Elyon Kuchem, that's the time of the first luchos, right? In Yom Shlishi, the Shir Shal Yom. Achein ke Adam Tumusun. Alas, though, you're going to die like Adam. Ukachad Asorim Tipol, and like one of the princes, you shall fall. So
before the head, something changed.
In other words, we were on a level of perfection at the time of the first luchos.
So that's
why Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, right, that I want you to make a very simple aron. For this, what do you call, one of eights, not out of gold, not out of silver. Why? Because now the world has changed. The first set of luchos, you were like angels. That was it. We were ready to end the whole shebang of the world. Right? But you sinned. And so now, you have to struggle. Just like you have to struggle to pick yourself up out of the morass. Sure. Just like Adam Arishan, you got tossed out of Gan Eden, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Bezeit HaPecha, you're going to have to eat your bread by the sweat of your brow. Kots v'dardar tatzmiach lach. Right? Thorns and thistles will grow for the ground. But life is not going to be so simple. Had you not sinned, life would have been, what do you call it, would have been perfect over here. Just the proper prologue to entering into Olam Haba.
So to now. Wait, so the time before the Chet, giving of the Luchos, we had a Tikkun Olam from Adam.
Right, we were there. You were just like Adam. Alas, though, Achein to Adam to Musun. But now the same thing happened to you like happened to Adam. Right? Then the Luchos Shnios.
Getting a little too cold.
So the Luchos Shnios, Oshnios, he says. Right? Vasibalaze, he says. Umashin is buyer. Pashas Kisisa. Right? The Luch Oshnios, Hayarosh Hachana. The Luch Oshnios were the beginning of the preparation. La Amala Shel Torah, the toil of Torah. In other words, before it was given to us as a gift from Shamayim. But the Luch Oshnios are indicative of Amala Shel Torah, of the toil of Torah. Shenitan Bekoach Aluchos Elu L'chadesh Masha Talmid Vosik Osi L'chadesh. In other words, just as Shomor, which was written hovering, as it were. It wasn't written in the first Luchos. It was hovering above. It was like oral law. Now that descends and becomes part of the second Luchos. That's what's written. Right? If that's what's written.
So what's the practical difference?
We said before
Zohar
is Ava. Right? Zohar, the positive commandments, all positive commandments, like the Ramban says in Yisro, all emanate from Ava, from love, connection. Shomor, it emanates from Yira. Right? Yet Yira means that you have to reestablish your connection. Right? You have to struggle out of the swamp of life. Right? And remember before whom you stand. When you're standing in front of the light and it's all clear, you just want to embrace more tightly, more tightly, more tightly, more tightly, more tightly, more tightly. When you've descended into the swamp, right? So you need, as it were, to reestablish the connection. Yira is the is the beginning of any step to reestablish that connection. When you realize before whom you stand, as opposed to thinking that you're just standing in the mundane world, right? So Shomor, make sure you don't mess it up. Make sure you don't mess up, let's say, Shabbos.
How does that infer that you have to work at it?
You don't hear you're working at it? When you're standing there in the light, the crux of the issue is not the working. The crux of the issue is enjoying, basking in the presence of where you are.
Without working for it.
Maybe it's some sort of effort, but it's not what he calls, not the same thing. It certainly is what he called. It's just with deeper connection. Whereas when you've messed up, so that's the Torah Sheval Peh. Torah Sheval Peh. That's why the Medrash Tanchuma in Noach talks about the idea that Ha'am Mahochim Vachoshech Ra or Gadol. The struggle of learning Torah Sheval Peh is difficult. It's not easy to understand. Right. We're learning this over here. It doesn't come easily. It's a struggle. And that's the way Torah is.
Oh, you wouldn't have to struggle. You wouldn't have to have that struggle the first time?
We wouldn't have forgotten. It would have been, what you call it, clear. It's just been, you know, just opening up another doorway and another doorway and another doorway. And you remember, I don't understand. Then finally, you begin to understand. That's the struggle towards about that. And the Shomor is the word. That's why the Shomor is written on the second set of Luchos, says the Netziv.
It's what?
Shomor is what we call originally was just part of Torah Shebal Peh. Now it becomes the Torah Shebichsav. That becomes our reality, right? That becomes part of our world, right? The world that we see in front of us. So you got to struggle. Got to make sure. Hashem, let's say with regard to Shabbos, Hashem gives you Shabbos, right? It's not enough just to make Kiddush, and to sing Zmiros, and what he called even saying Dibrei Torah at the table. Those are all crucial to experiencing Shabbos, to keeping Mekayim Shabbos. But you also got to make sure that you're not over on Bishul, you're not over on Borev, you're not over on Shechita, you're not over on what he called Lamentes Malachos.
Do we have done that too the first time?
This is true, but what can the first said, what he called, what was written on the stones, right, was Zohar. That meant that was sort of like the reality, right? Torah Bechsav, the written law is really a reflection of the way we see reality itself.
It is.
The oral, yeah, that's the way it is. That's what we would call. That's why it was. That's like. What do you call it?
Okay, so the written law is
the written law is from the world of Nevuah, of prophecy, right? Prophecy is what you call it, is said by prophets were called Ro'im. They see the world. They see it that way. Right? And that's what they give over to us. The way they see the world can be seen like that. Oral law.
The prophecy is written?
Of course, all prophecy is recorded. The Torah is written, the Nevi'im is written, right? That's all written.
Okay.
Oral law is understood, right? You don't see it. You have to understand it. It becomes real in your mind. It's not real in your vision. It's real in your mind. And you have to apply it to the world. It's sort of like, if you look at the Vidikwot at the page 2 here in the Vidikwot, this is the famous Gemara we did. Then also in this week's Parsha, it says Moshe Rabbeinu referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the following, gave the following praises. Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Vanora. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's here in the Chumash. And that's what we say in Vidikwot, as we say in our davening, in the first Bracha, in Shemoneh Esrei. Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Vanora. Right? So what he called the
Gemara.
That's good. So Gemara in Yuma says, talking about why the Anshei Knesset Gdola called the Anshei Knesset Gdola, because they returned the crown to its previous place of glory. Why? Because the Nevi'im stopped saying Gibor. When Daniel saw that the Babylonians were abusing, right, subjugating, tormenting, the Jews during their exile in Babylon, he stopped saying Gibor.
Or so how does this fit in what you're saying?
If you'll wait till the end of the sentence, then you'll know.
Okay.
Right? Right? You ask the question, so therefore I change the order in order to be able to answer your question.
Okay.
You said where is the we said that the written law is the way the world is seen.
Right.
Right? The oral law is the way the world is understood. So Daniel stopped saying Gibor. He says, because I don't see Hashem overcoming the enemies of the Jewish people. Where is his glura? Where is his might? He's not overcoming the enemies of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are being subjugated and tormented by the Babylonians. He stopped saying Gibor. Yirmiyahu, when he saw the Babylonians enter into what he called as the Beis HaMikdash, and prancing around and defiling, right, the Beis HaMikdash, he says, where's your Noros? Where's your awesomeness, Hashem? The main place of where Hashem's awesomeness was to show that He was in our midst was the Beis HaMikdash. The Shekhinah was there. Like we talked about before, that the word Nora is Osios Aron, right? The letters Aleph Reish Vav Nun and the letters Nun Vav Reish Aleph, right? The Aron was the symbol par excellence of Hashem's Noros, because if you added up the dimensions of the Aron and the place allocated on either side of the Aron, it was bigger than the Kodesh Kodashim. That can't be. But it was something that was right there. The whole experience of the Mikdash, you could feel, you could see, you could sense, you could record, you could experience Hashem in our midst. But he said, we don't see it anymore. The places where no Jew could dare walk before, unless he was properly prepared, right? Even the Kohen Gadol couldn't stop to walk anywhere he wanted, whenever he wanted it, right? And now all of a sudden, the Babylonians are walking all over the place. Where's your Noros? He stopped saying Noros. Came along to Anshei Knesset Gdola, and they said, it's true, there's a shift now. There's a shift from the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There's a shift in the way Hashem's presence is going to be understood / seen in the world. We've left the world of Nevuah. There is no more Nevuah now. There's only the guidance of Chachma of the Torah.
Who said that?
That's where the Anshei Knesset Gdola did. And they said, you can say Gibor. Why? Because not because Hashem is subjugating our enemies, but because He is not destroying our enemies, even though His ratzon is He wishes to destroy them for their tormenting of us. But because the time is not ripe for it, He controls Himself. That's Gvura. He controls Himself. He controls His will because the time is not ripe. Nora, awesomeness. It's true we don't have a Beis HaMikdash standing in all of its glory anymore. But the Noros, the awesomeness of Hashem is seen, because how can the Jewish people survive among 70 nations that wish to destroy it? So it's interesting that in this Parsha, in Parsha's Akiv, is a Parsha of transition, of evolution, of the what do you call it, of the Jewish people. With regard to the Luchos, the way the Netziv understands it, by the way, the Tziv understands it, there was a transition between the first Luchos and the second Luchos as a result of sin, right? as a result of sin, so now the primacy of the oral law came about. In other words, we have to use the oral law and the struggle which is required to learn the oral law, right, was necessary. Was necessary to pull ourselves out of the morass. Right? That was a transition from the first set of Lukos to the second set of Lukos. And then also, interestingly enough, also in our parsha over here, is this Pasuk, Kela Godel Hibor HaNora, which the Gemara Numa tells us, was also one of these transition points. Not from first Lukos, second Lukos, it doesn't appear in the Lukos, right?
Yeah.
But it is a transition point between the way the prophets saw the world.
The new tefillah.
Right? And the way the Anshei Knesset Gdola taught us that we have to see the world after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It's also a transition point.
Transition.
Right? The way that we call it, in other words, just like with regard to the first Luchos and second Luchos. The first Luchos, right? Everything is perfectly clear. Second Luchos, we sinned. Now, embedded in the very essence of the Luchos is our struggle to pull ourselves out of the darkness we created for ourselves. With regard to the Godel Gibor Nora, right? Here we have the Psukim, and then where's Hashem's Gvura seen? His Gvura seen, he overcomes our enemies. His Noros is seen, and what he called is that we can see that he dwells in our midst. And then after the destruction, the Gemara Numa tells us, after the destruction, you have to redefine the way these things are now available and seen by us. Gibor is now seen in the fact that Hashem doesn't destroy your enemies because the time is not right, even though he wishes to because they're tormenting us. His Noros, his awesomeness, is no longer seen through the majesty, right, and the experience of being in the Beis HaMikdash as it's built, but rather his Noros is seen in what? In how do we survive? How can one sheep survive amongst 70 wolves? Okay? Let's just see what he caught. Let's just see just a bit of the Sfas Emes here. And that would require, I think that will complement what we were just discussing. There's the Sfas Emes. In last week's Parsha, right, we said Shman V'Ahavta.
Mm-hmm.
That's Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. Right? Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. In this week's Parsha, we have Ayayim Shamoa. That's called Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos. Right? Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos. Look at this. Look at a very basic difference. Let's look at a very basic difference here between the Ahavta and Vayayim Shamoa. Says V'yohavto es Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol miyodecha. V'chol miyodecha is all your money. In Vayayim Shamoa, what does it say?
The second part.
Right. Chol avavcha, right? V'chol nafshecha,
right?
But then v'chol meodechem, left it out.
You got
cheap. What's that? So says Sfas Emes. says that Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim is the attitude of a person. All your money. Right? Meaning that your attitude has to be that Hashem, if Hashem tells you, forget about everything Olam Hazeh, don't concern yourself with anything Olam Hazeh, then that's what you do.
What?
Your attitude has to be, our attitude has to be, if Hashem says, Chol Modechem, it's all your money, your assets, right? if I recall, you have to love Hashem beyond all of that. That means that in your attitude is, if Hashem says, recall, forget about Olam Hazeh, forget about anything physical, right? Only concern yourself with the spiritual. Then your attitude has to be, then that's fine, that's what I'm going to do. That's in Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim, that's when one accepts the yoke of Hashem's dominion, that's one's attitude towards Hashem. The acceptance of His yoke of dominion. But, right? But in Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos, in this week's Parsha, right? So there, but that's addressing application. How should we apply? How should we apply? Right? So he's not telling us to throw away Olam Hazeh. Right? In terms of attitude, we have to be willing to throw away Olam Hazeh. In terms of application, we have to sanctify Olam Hazeh. And you need the things of Olam Hazeh dafka to sanctify. In mitzvot, you need physical things. Right? You need physical things in order to sanctify them. If you don't have anything physical, there's nothing to sanctify.
First paragraph describes
the attitude, right? And the second paragraph speaks about in application. So in application, we're going to sanctify. We're not going to throw away Olam Hazeh. We're going to sanctify Olam Hazeh.
First paragraph is the attitude to sanctify.
Right. The first paragraph is what he calls the attitude. That if Hashem says to me, there's no Olam Hazeh, right? If I tell you to give up everything in Olam Hazeh, then that's what you do. In practical life, we're constantly encountering Olam Hazeh, right? And we have to sanctify it. And that's in general. That's in general the approach, right, of the relationship between v'hayayim shamoa tishmeu, like the Sfas Emes says, the double terminology in v'hayayim shamoa tishmeu. If you heard what I said, right, the first time, right, in shma tishmeu. Now hear again and figure out how to apply it in the world. That's the difference between Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim and Kabbalah's own mitzvos. The first time you hear it, I accept Hashem is everything, right? If he asks me to throw everything away, I'll throw everything away, right? But now, he's not asking me to throw everything away right now. What do I want to do? He says, Kabbalah's own mitzvos. Record here that now you're in Olam Hazeh, right? So now, figure out how to apply it. Figure out how to apply it. Okay, and now just the last Vasemis over here. Last Vasemis over here. Ve'ainyan hu, says in the bold here in this Vasemis. Ki remez haluchos vaksav hem bechinas guf u'neshama. The relationship between the stone of the luchos and the writing on the luchos is like the relationship between the body and the soul. Remember, the first set of luchos, the luchos themselves came from heaven. And the writing came from heaven. That means our physical existence was transported to a different level. Yep. We were like angels, right? We sinned, and because of that, now, right, we have to pick ourselves up. We have to go through a struggle, and therefore the stones are man made. They're made by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu chisels them.
First luchos,
when you go to stones, and the writing came from heaven. The stones in the Sfas Emes are like the goof. The writing is like the neshama. Just like when they burned Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, they asked him, Stalmi said, what do you see? He says, I see gvilim nisrafim, I see the parchment burning, the osios porchos ba'avir, and the letters flying in the heaven. Why? Because his body was being burned. Right? He's like the parchment. And what he called in the Torah, the letters of the Torah are flying up towards heaven, his soul. So to also, the luchos are the recorder, representative of the goof, And the writing is representative of the neshama.
So what happened after the second luchos?
So that in the second luchos, where he called Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu made the luchos. The luchos came from down on earth.
Therefore, what?
We're on a different level.
Wasn't body and soul anymore?
No, it's body and soul. The only thing is what he called our bodies were so elevated in the first what he called luchos, which where the stone kilo came from heaven, right? We were much more elevated, right? Second set of luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu made the stones. Our bodies come from down here. They're lowered because we sin, and therefore we have to struggle, as it were, to rectify things.
What about the soul?
Soul remains the same. Soul remains in heaven. The question is how elevated the goof is. So what we're seeing here is the Sfas Emes, right? Just like we saw in the Netziv, in the Hamigdavar, that there was a change from the first Luchos to the second Luchos. In the first Luchos, Zohar was written, love, because it's all clear.
Yeah.
Second set of Luchos, Shomor is written, Shomor. You have to pull away the mask of this world, what he called, and remember you stand before Hashem, have fear of Hashem, etc. That's the transition from the first set of Luchos to the second set of Luchos. The Sfas Emes points out, right? He points out that the luchos and the writing are representative of body and soul. In the first set of luchos, the body was so elevated it was like from heaven, and that's why the stones came from heaven. Right? The writing, of course, came from heaven because that's soul. In the second set of luchos, we had to write Moshe had to chisel the stone. The stone came from the earth. The stone came from the earth. And the writing came from heaven. The transition between, right? And that's why, I assume, that's why the story of the chiseling of the luchos appears over here after we talk about the writing. Remember, the writing is in Parshas Veschanan. The chiseling of the luchos is talked about over here. If we'd written them in the normal order, so you just think, oh, this is very practical. Chisel them, and then I'll tell you what's going to be written on them. The fact that we wrote it out of order is to point out that there's something fundamental to be learned from the way that the luchos were made the second time. That Moshe Rabbeinu made them, because that was part of the change. So this entire parsha of Akev, right, has two different aspects of transition in the history of the Jewish people. One, the transition from, like we see with regard to the luchos, the transition from prior to the Cheta Egel to post the Cheta Egel, the primacy of Torah Shebal Peh in our lives to help us, we start to struggle with it or to pick ourselves up out of the muck, right, that we generated for ourselves with the sin of the Egel.
And destruction of the temple.
Right? Oh, and then the second transition is the transition which we see with regard to the words we use in Shemona Esrei. But also from this Parsha, Kela, Godla, Gibo Vanora, they took on different meaning. From the time prior to destruction of the temple to post the destruction of the temple, so the Torah is always what you call it. The Torah makes that transition, right? Nowadays, everybody thinks you can take the Torah and do with it whatever you want. They think that what you call it, the Torah has to evolve according to the way man sees it.
We're in transition,
right? Right? But really, what it is the Torah recognizes these things, but the Torah does it. Right, because the Torah does it because only the Torah and only Chazal can tell us exactly how this is going to take place, how things are going to, what we call, move from one stage to another, how they're going to be manifest in a different fashion, how things are going to evolve. First set of Luchos, second set of Luchos, prior destruction of the temple, post destruction of the temple. Now, because man is so full of hubris, he's so full of his own gaiva, right? So you have all these groups coming and saying, what do you call, well, Torah's got to evolve. Why? Because they want to create God in the image of man, instead of recognizing the Torah says that teaches us that man is in the image of God. Okay. Anyway, so in Hashem, hopefully we'll chop that idea well.